Faithful being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ during this time of your life. Don't let the summer put you to sleep. We still got a lot of work to do for the Lord. Good to have visitors with us tonight. I trust they'll have a good time here in Orlando and be safe going back. They brought several seniors came in to do their senior trip. Be in prayer for those that are graduating today and tonight that are out tonight and I think tonight's it, right? No more? What's Sarah graduate? Sarah's tomorrow. Got one more tomorrow. So be in prayer for those seniors. My son graduated Sunday night, and so is at his graduation, and Brother Tom Saxton was the keynote speaker, and he mentioned something that I never thought about the generations that are alive today. And this generation graduated, there's five living generations right now, and if God gives them a long life, that'd be five more generations that they can impact. So don't think that this generation is not worthwhile. They got a lot ahead of them. You and I, some of us, we got maybe a generation left in us, some of us don't. We're looking around here, y'all don't even have a couple of days. I'd be preaching, you know, never mind about that. But they got a lot to do. And don't allow this time that we live in. We live in a strange time right now. There is a famine in the land for the Word of God. We have a lot to do as a church, so we found faithful for the Lord. You know, this year, this month, we've had three families move out of our area. Members of our church, they moved, they're gone. So that, what does that mean? That means we got to be out there fishing. We got to keep fishing. We can't wait for them to move in to be a blessing for, you know, good families to be transferred in from out of state, but there is a lot of folks around us that we can be busy at. So be found faithful. If you can't make it to Saturday's visitation this Saturday with the church, you know, make sure you're inviting folks on your own and being found faithful to be a witness for the Lord. So we're going to go to Matthew tonight. Matthew chapter 14. Good to have my bus riders with me. How many we got tonight, Emmanuel? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We had some that played hooky on me. Our Bible clubs ended last week, and they didn't want to come. So this tonight, when I picked them up and brought them in, I gave them popsicles. I told them, go back and tell all those kids that stayed home that they missed out and missed a treat. And so good to have our bus drivers with us tonight. And even though we don't have our Bible clubs going, we take a summer break on Wednesday nights. We normally have Bible clubs running, and then we join together at about 7:20, 7:25 and have a finish out the service together. But good to have them come and be with us and be a part of the Lord's service here tonight. I noticed that there's still a lot of hurricane damage still yet to be fixed. Isn't that amazing? Guess what happens in less than a week? We're back into hurricane season. Isn't that amazing? We got roofs around here that have not been yet repaired, claims that have not been made, and we're moving right back into hurricane season. Matter of fact, I believe out in the Gulf right now there's a numbered storm, L90 or something like that, that is probably going to become a tropical storm by this weekend and move ashore. And it got me to thinking about storms. Life itself, if you just look at life, the turbulence of just everyday life, it's no wonder we can have a comparison with storms. And you remember when Irma was coming back up here, when it hit land down at Key West, they kept saying, it's going to go wide, it's going to go left, it's going. That's just how life is. Life is just like that. You get to looking, planning, thinking, and before you know it, you're, well, I'm going to miss this one. And you're not careful, a storm just comes right at you. The winds that blow into our life, the rainfalls and the elements that just rage during storms that come into our life. There's one thing that I found out in my Christian walk, Brother Ethan, is this. It's certain that I'm going to have storms. It's just a certainty of life that I am. Now, we have to be very careful with this, because sometimes, Brother Jim, this is what we do. We get these folks that preach and teach that everything's going to be just A-OK, bed of roses when you get saved, just a hunky-dory life, and they try to convince people that they're not have any trouble by just giving their life over to Christ. And then on the other hand, you got folks that just preach doom and gloom. I mean, we just live like Eeyore, running around here just moped down, no joy, no life, no excitement in our walk for Christ. And the fact that it matters is that we're going to have storms. That's a certainty. But the storms and the circumstances of that storm does not dictate who I am in Christ. It does not change my position as God's child. It does not say that God does not love me. It does not say that I'm outside the will of God when storms come my way. So we're going to read in a couple of spots tonight, because I got to thinking about hurricane season coming up, and we, looking around, and we're still repairing and trying to get things fixed up for that. And I just started thinking about storms and all the kids graduating and things of that nature. I'm telling you, all of us face storms, some sort. I thought about this too, Brother Corn, was that sometimes storms are much worse at different times for some people. The time and the season makes the storm worse. And I thought about this. There's sometimes that some people go through the same exact thing, but for one person or one family or one church or one youth group or one bus worker or one Sunday school teacher, it is much worse. The circumstances of the same storm, it affects people much worse. You remember they tell us it was going to be bad. I mean, it was going to be horrible. And then Irma moved off into the Gulf, and guess what? It was horrible in Key West. It was horrible in Puerto Rico. I mean, they got hit hard with a couple of storms down there. It just depends, just how it's the same storm, but it's different for each person, and sometimes it's more difficult. I remember my father-in-law was still living when the church called us to pastor down here 10 years ago. He called my wife and told, you know, what's wrong with your husband? He's not making good sense. Why is he leaving and going down there where they're going to have all kind of hurricanes and stuff of that nature down in Florida? At that time, we lived in central Louisiana, and we were up above Lake Charles by an hour and a half, straight north of Lake Charles, Louisiana, in central part, about an hour west of Alexander, so if you're familiar with that area. And the night we packed up to move down here, the very night we packed up, a hurricane came straight up through the Red River, right up through Lake Charles, right up into our backyard. When we got ready to drive out the next morning, we had to go 80 miles north to get past all of the debris. Now, that tells you how much your father knows, honey. I had liked him from the beginning. We've only been married 31 years. I'll be honest, I do. We had a good relationship after the first 17 years. It took him that long to even call me by my name. He would always say, "That's Kim's husband." Finally, when I'd sit down at the table, he'd say, I'd be standing right there beside him, and he'd say, "Kim, tell your husband it's time to eat." I'm right here. No, just tell me. I'll sit down. Then finally, he'd just say, "Lane, it's time to eat," after 17 years of that. So we did work it out and got better at doing things. But what I'm saying is, some storms are just, it's the same storm, same trouble. One person might get laid off and another family might get laid off. And it's just bad, for one. It's horrible. The storm affects people differently. It does. For us, I'm not talking about the hail and the rain and the hurricanes and the tornadoes. I'm talking about storms that come into life that are in many different shapes, forms, and fashions. How many of you probably, don't raise your hand because I know it's happened, but at some point in your life, money just simply ran out before the month did. It just happens. That can create a horrible storm. It can. I think about the loss of loved ones. My father-in-law, my mother-in-law, my dad died when I was when he was 44 years old, and the loss of loved ones. My brother last year, when the car fell on him and crushed him and died. You know, the loss of life, and it affects people. And many of you have lost loved ones, and those storms that come into different people's lives. Some of you have had problems at work. How many of you have had every job you ever had, every day of work, you've had the perfect job, the perfect coworker, the perfect scenario? If you have, Lord, just be thankful, because it doesn't happen like that often. Even on church, in church ministries. I mean, you can get, have problems with people that work together, even at church. Depression is a real thing. Marital problems. Lord, we live in a day and age where marital problems are just, they're everywhere. And we as churches, we've got to learn to minister to people that have come into our fold and into our fellowship that come and arrive with family problems. You know, a mixture of things. We were visiting just Tuesday night, and we knocked on the door, and the late girl came to the door and said, we asked, "Is your mom home?" And she said, "My stepmom's in there." That's just the day and age we live in. It happens. Marital problems are a real thing, and they are real storms. They certainly are real storms. And sometimes parents, you work, you pray, you labor, you pray, you labor, you fast, you pray, and then all of a sudden you have a child that just seems not to do right. The disappointments at that time, but you got to stop and think just for a minute. They're 16, 18, 22, 23 years old, and they are not mature as you are at 40-something. So they're going to make mistakes. Think about the disappointments that you have put at the feet of Jesus sometimes as a child of God. And it helped keep us in perspective there. Maybe you've set out some goals. You say, "I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to, at this age, I'm going to have this house or this car, this job, this career." And man, it just seems like every endeavor you put your hand to, you didn't have any accomplishment. It's real storms. Those are real. I'm not talking about just Irma and all this. Emotional upsets. Just, your whole day is wrecked by just some action of somebody that has no idea that you're on your last straw. No idea that this, you cannot take one more mean look or one, and just the emotional upset. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 14 real quick. Storms are certain. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. The Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him into the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit.' And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous and was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, called him and said unto him, 'O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?' And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased." All right. There's a time of storm where Jesus came to him. He was not in the boat with him. Look over in Mark chapter 4. Hold your place there in Matthew, because we're going to flip back and forth. There's some things that I picked out and saw in both of these chapters. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. So Jesus is not in the boat with them in that storm, but he comes to them. Okay, Mark chapter 4, verse 35. The Bible says, "And the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, 'Let us pass over unto the other side.' And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, 'Master,'" what a statement, "'carest thou not that we perish?'" But we've all been there. Every last one of us in our storms. "Lord, do you love me? Lord, why is this happening if you love me? Carest thou not that we perish?" Verse 39. "And he arose, rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, 'Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?' And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, 'What manner of man is this, that even the wind of the sea obey him?'" So in this one, Jesus is actually in the boat. But there is a storm nonetheless in both instances. Matthew chapter 14, Jesus sends them away, goes along to pray. They're in a boat. The storm comes. Jesus comes to the rescue. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus is in the boat with them, and the storm is there. And I'm going to tell you something. The storm arises, and Jesus takes care of them there in the midst of the storm. God will take you out of the storm if you just allow Him to guide and direct you. And sometimes He just wants to simply be your anchor in the middle of that storm. He is an anchor of hope, and He is the one that will help you through those most difficult times. And I listed probably 7-8 different things that could come into our life. And if I gave the four tonight, I'm sure that some of you could come up with more different types of scenarios and storms that has actually come into your life. But let me tell you something. He's not going to take you out of the storm until it's His good will to do so. And you're going to have to be patient with that. You have to wait it out. You have to allow God to do whatever He is doing in the storm in your life, and allow Him to work it in His own good time. I want you to look over in Matthew chapter 14 again and verse number 32. Matthew chapter 14, verse 32. So the storm's going on. Jesus is walking. Uh-oh, there's a spirit. They were troubled. They were afraid. And He cried out and said, they cried out for fear. But straightway in verse 27, Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Okay? So the storm is going on. Peter says, bid me come. He gets out. Peter's walking. Verse 30 says, the wind boisterous. He was afraid. Look at verse 32. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. The storm is not going to stop until Jesus is ready for the storm to come. Peter's out there. The storm didn't. When Peter said, bid me come, and Jesus said, come, perfect obedience in the will of God, doing what He said to do. Matter of fact, all of them was in the will of God at this point. Look back at verse number 22. And straightway Jesus was constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him to the other side while He sent the multitude away. Jesus said, go. In the perfect will of God, there's a storm. In the midst of the storm, Peter says, can I come to You, Lord? He says, come. The storm doesn't stop. Matter of fact, Peter's sinking. The wind's boisterous. He takes his eyes off of Jesus onto the storm, and he starts to sink. Guess what? The storm still does not stop. Jesus takes him by the hand, lifts him up, and saves him up out of the water. Guess what? The storm still does not stop. Verse 32 says, and when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Man, what amazing when you look at this. Because sometimes it's what we do, Brother David. We do this. Lord, I'm hurting. This relationship ain't right. My marital problems is too strong. I cannot help it. I cannot do anything else. And we cry out to the Lord, and we think it's over. And Peter bid me to come. The storm didn't stop. Sometimes, dear friend, I'll tell you, the storm's going to rage on. It's going to go on. But it does not mean God's not working. It does not mean that God's still not in control. At any point, He could have stopped it. At any instant in this passage, well, how do you know that? Because when He rose up out of sleep, when He had His head on the pillow, in Mark chapter 4, He just said, peace, be still. Wind ceased. And the Bible says, with a great calm. With a great calm. God will make the storm stop in His own good, perfect will. And it does not mean you're out of the will of God every time a storm comes in your life. Don't let people convince you of that. Don't. Now listen, could you be out of the will of God? Sure you could. That's something you have to talk between you and God. Could you have sinned against your brother or your sister or your God? Well, if you sin against your brother or sister, you're sinning against God anyway. But if there is there sin in your life, could there be? Yes, there could be. I'm not discounting that you're not outside the will of God. But I'm just here to tell you that not every storm that comes to your life, dear friend, that you're out of the will of God. You're not. You got to check up and say, Lord, if there be any sin in me, Lord, if I'm not in the way, Lord, if I'm not walking according to Thy commandments, Lord, please show me. Because listen, the Bible does teach that the wind will trouble your home. That's a biblical principle in the Old Testament. The whirlwind will trouble your house. There is. You get outside the will of God, He will. But don't think for every time you do so, every time a storm, every time trouble. Listen, do not put yourself and let yourselves be beat up and beat down and say, Lord, why even try? Every time I walk with God, I'm in a storm. Why not say this? Lord, thank You that You've counted me worthy to be in this storm. Thank You for allowing me the opportunity. And God, see me through this storm. He knows where you are. In the middle of the storm, right here in Matthew chapter 14, Jesus is up praying. He's alone praying. Matter of fact, the storm's out there. Jesus doesn't go wandering all over the lake trying to find him, all over the sea of Galilee trying to find him. He goes straight to him. Why? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And that's including in your storms, in your troubles, in your disappointments, in your emotional upsets that run through your life. Matter of fact, dear friend, I believe personally that God is honored bound by His Word to help us in storms. Why? He said, my grace is sufficient for you. I believe by His Word, He's honored bound to help you in the midst of that storm. Now, he may just stop the storm. He may calm you in the storm. He may just help you out to get you under control, allow you to walk through the storm, through the midst of the storm. He might be like Peter, where the waves are still boisterous. He might reach down to heaven. You might even fail the test of the walk of faith, like Peter. But He won't leave you. He won't leave you. He'll just take it. Come on up here and walk again. His promises is not to give. Matter of fact, He's promises not to give us too much, Brother Robert, that we can't handle. So I won't put too much. I won't break you down. He's not wanting to break us. His whole will and purpose for God, for His people, for the child of God, is that He might conform you to the image of His Son. He's not going to break you. Well, how do you know that? Because did not the Bible prophesy when Jesus was on the cross that not a bone would be broken? Did a bone get broke? Did not. He's not going to break you. He wants to conform you. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes that conforming, it needs a little bit of pressure. It needs a little bit of, what do they call that thing with the sand? Sandblasting. Because they do the armor with body paint. I mean, you just get an air compressor. Somehow they mix sand in there, and they take the paint right off of a car. Sometimes God got to just put a little sandblast in your life. Sometimes you just got to come in and chisel away at some things. You got to come in there and say, this you are not willing to give up, so I've got to put you in this storm to let you see that this is not going to rescue you. I am going to rescue you. I am your redeemer. I am your protector. I am your buckler. Look over at Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 30. I'm not saying you won't be overwhelmed. But when they saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. Overwhelmed. There's going to be hard. There's going to be a lot of problems. There's going to be times, dear friend, that you think you can't even take another step. That's why the Bible says, talking about putting on the whole armor of God, it says, when you've done all that you can to stand, just simply stand, therefore. How many times in the New Testament teaches that sometimes you won't even know how to pray, what to pray, or even the words to say, but the Holy Ghost of God groaning within you shall pray for you. I'm not saying you won't be overwhelmed. I'm saying you will not be conquered if you only allow Jesus, the anchor of our soul, the hope that lies within us, be our helper. That's what He wants to do. He's bringing us through these things of life so that He can make us more and more and more like Him. Listen, I do believe that sometimes He allows storms to come into our life that He might give us opportunity to see how great a love He has for us. Oh, you're serious, Pastor. Well, I don't know what you think about the book of Job. But He sure loved Job. And when it was all said and done, He showed Job exactly how much He loved him. Those were some difficult storms. I mean, his friends, he lost all of his kids, all of his animals, all his house servants, except one, to come back and tell him the bad news. You was thinking, my man, why didn't you just let him find out by hearsay? No, he Right? And the only thing he was left was some friends that tried to convince him that he was wrong, and even a wife that at one point said, Job, you just need to do away with this, curse God and die. You're talking about a difficult storm. But God saw him right through it and showed himself strong. It was an opportunity for Job to see how much he was loved by God. So the certainty of storms going to be there. The assurance that I have according to the Word of God is that in the storm, I shall not be left alone. I shall not be left alone. He is going to be there with me. He's going to help me. He's going to strengthen me. He's going to get me through that so that I might be able to see His love for me in that difficult moment, so that as I am brought through the storm, I might be able to comfort somebody else that's going through those difficult storms. Now, what do I do at the approach of the storm? When you see, the scariest thing is about these hurricanes is that when you see them coming, and you know, we have all gadgets, phones, laptops, TVs, news people. Isn't it crazy that a news person can be 50% wrong all the time to keep their job? I don't understand it. Just crazy. Brother Ethan just got a good job working with the KUA. You be 50% wrong getting people's power back up, man, you won't have a job. Just won't. Just that simple. Man, these weathermen, people can be 50% wrong all the time and still keep their job. I remember growing up to this day, my grandma, Grandma Louise, she watched Woody Asaph, Channel 3, WVLT, every evening. I'm telling you, if you moved, she would get a switch. She had to. How am I, 49 years old, remember a man in Mississippi named Woody Asaph, and every time he said it's going to rain, it never rained. To this day, I remember his name, Woody Asaph. That is crazy. I haven't talked about him, Woody Asaph. Here's the thing. When you see the approaching storm, accept the facts as you see them. Don't make more out of it than it's there. Don't be borrowing trouble and worrying about what ifs. Accept the facts. What's the facts? God loves me. I'm His child. He's all powerful. He will see me through this. As you see it, you have to say, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't know why this has happened. Trust Him completely. 100%. Trust Him completely. And I think probably this is the biggest thing that gets us in biggest trouble of all. We start running here and there. When God brings you into a storm, dear friends, we saw in these two examples, didn't nobody jump out of the boat but one, Peter, and he went straight to Jesus. And Peter was brought back into the boat. The other disciples did not start, you remember the lost people back over in the book of Jonah? What did they want to do with everything? Get rid of. Jonah said, hey, throw me overboard too. Stay right where you're at. Stay right there and let Him move you. Don't be moving around by yourself, getting here and there, changing this, changing that. You've got to put faith and trust in Him. Well, how do I do that? You've got to get to know Him better. Biggest problem we have as Christians today, we don't really, truly know our Lord like we should. Well, how do I do that? By knowing His Word. This is the mind of Christ. Get in it. You see it. And quit allowing panic to overtake you. We're not given to a spirit of fear and bondage. Listen, the Holy Ghost of God brings passive, all understanding, brings all kind of peace into our life if we allow Him to do such. And probably the best of all is this. When the storm overtakes you, and it shall, just praise Him. Praise Him. Why? He's worthy. He is worthy to be praised. I'm getting kids, listen something. You want your dad and your mom to do something for you? Butter them up. Go to your room, clean it, wash the car. Take all those dirty socks and turn them right side out. Quit leaving them half in, half out. Put them over in the washing machine yourself. Ask mom, hey, now how much bleach do I need to put in this? Oh, you don't put bleach in there, hon. That's the colors there. You have to just you have to be careful with those. And let her see. Butter. What do you think it is when we're praising God? We're buttering Him up. He's worthy. He knows He's worthy, but He sure likes us to tell Him. He likes us to know that He's worthy. Instead of always questioning, Lord, where's your power? Why are you not fixing this? Why are you going to do this? You know, if you get me out of this fix, I'll do this. We're always horse trading with God. In the middle of the storm, just simply stop and praise Him. Stop and praise Him. Father, we love You. We thank You, Lord, for an opportunity to be in Your house tonight. We pray, Lord, that You'd bless as we go our way. All these seniors that's visiting with us tonight, our seniors that are graduating or have graduated this week, we pray, God, that You would protect them, keep them safe, help them to make the decisions, Lord, that will be best for their lives according to Your Word and according to Your Spirit as it moves upon them. Lord, I just pray that You would help them not to be as double-minded people. Lord, they'd be fixed upon You, and not only them, but we as Your people. Help us, Lord, fix ourselves on the affections above. And Lord, look to You for strength and help during difficult times and decisions that we make. And Lord, in the middle of the storm, may we know that, yes, You do care if we perish, because You died for us. And You rose again that we might have eternal life. Lord, help us to have a good understanding of the storms of life. And help us to get to know our God in a much better and closer, intimate relationship. That during the difficult moments of life, we know that You are there. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you're dismissed. Bus riders, please wait right there for me. Do not...